Expert HR Weekly, compliance, good practice and benchmarking for UK HR professionals.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast with me, Susan Dennehy. This week we look at two topics, the outcome of the appeal in Locke and British Gas on whether or not commission must be included in the calculation of holiday pay, and we look at the steps employers should be taking to prepare for modern slavery and human trafficking statements. On hand to go through these two topics this week is Susie Monroe. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Sue.
Should we start by looking at the case of Locke and British Gas? It's a long-running case, isn't it? What's just happened?
Yes, it is a long-running case. It was heard in the tribunal for the first time in 2012. The tribunal referred it to the European Court of Justice. It went to Europe and then back to the tribunal. Then British Gas appealed to the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and that's what's just happened. We've just had the decision of the Employment Appeal Tribunal in February.
And can you remind us, what was the issue in this case?
So Mr. Locke is a salesperson for British Gas, and a significant portion of his income is commission. So the question for the tribunals and courts is, when he went on holiday and wasn't earning commission, should his holiday pay include an amount to reflect the commission that he would have earned had he been at work?
There have been a number of cases, haven't there, looking at what should be included in holiday pay in the last few years?
Yes, so there have been cases looking at certain allowances, different types of overtime and commission. And if anybody wants to see the relevant cases, we've got a hot topic on holiday pay, which you can find through the Expert HR homepage. But the main principle is that holiday pay should be normal pay. So somebody who goes on holiday shouldn't be disadvantaged financially by taking leave. In the Locke and British Gas case, it was found that not getting commission could deter somebody from taking leave. So the European Court of Justice held that there was an intrinsic link between the commission that the workers received and the performance of the tasks that were required under their contracts. So such commission must be taken into account in the calculation of their holiday pay. So when it went back to the tribunal added wording into the working time regulations to comply with that ECJ decision. And then that's what the appeal to the Employment Appeal Tribunal was about.
And what has the EAT held?
So the EAT upheld the tribunal's decision. It held that commission should be included in holiday pay and that wording can be read into the working time regulations to achieve this. So the EAT went along with the previous EAT decision in Bear Scotland and Fulton, which was the case about overtime pay.
And is that likely to be the end of the matter?
Probably not. We don't know for sure, but it's likely that British Gas will appeal to the Court of Appeal. But we do know that recent case law has all been going in the same direction, and that's to say that holiday pay should include aspects of pay that are normally received by the worker. So if they've not already done so, employers should be looking at their own holiday pay calculations now.
Moving on then, something else that some employers should be working on, the preparation of a modern slavery and human trafficking statement. Who does this requirement apply to?
So this applies to businesses operating in the UK with a turnover of at least £36 million. The definition of who it covers is a body corporate or partnership that carries on a business or part of a business in any part of the UK and supplies goods and services. So in theory it could include a public body or a charity if it has the required turnover and is carrying on a business and meets those other elements of the definition.
And can you tell us when the requirement comes in?
So the legislation came in October 2015, but the duty applied only to financial years ending on or after 31st of March 2016. So it depends when the organisation's financial year runs from. If it's April to March, they would have to produce a statement covering the year 2015-2016. There's no timescale set out in the legislation about how long after the end of the year a statement has to be published, but there's statutory guidance on this. And that says that the government expects organisations to publish their statements as soon as reasonably practicable after the end of each financial year. And the guidance goes on to say that it encourages publication within 6 months of the end of the financial year. So if a financial year runs from the 1st of January, the organisation will have to publish a statement covering this financial year beginning 1st of January 2016, and that has to be published as soon as reasonably practicable after the year ends on 31st of December 2016.
So what should the statement cover?
So the legislation requires the statement to set out the steps the organisation has taken during the financial year to ensure that slavery and human trafficking is not taking place in any of its supply chains and in any part of its own business. So it's about explaining what the organisation has done to investigate and to take action. They don't actually have to make a guarantee that there is no slavery or human trafficking in the organisation or the supply chain. The Act sets out some examples of what a statement could cover. And that's things like due diligence processes, where an organisation has identified a particular risk and the steps it's taken to manage that risk, and details of any training that it provides to staff.
And what kind of things are the government trying to prevent? Have you got any examples?
Yeah, so a good example involves Nestlé, obviously a massive global company. Nestlé was facing allegations of forced labour and human rights abuses in its supply chain. Specifically, these were about the fishing trade in Thailand. And it was alleged that shrimp and prawns were being caught by boats using forced labour and were entering Nestlé's supply chain. So Nestlé hired some specialist consultants to do a report, and they made a public announcement in November 2015 to say that Nestlé was launching an action plan on sourcing seafood in Thailand. And the plan, they said, was designed to protect workers from abuses, improve working conditions, and tackle unacceptable practices, including juvenile and teenage working. So that statement was a voluntary statement by Nestlé in response to campaigns and allegations against it. So it's an example of a very large company that is going to have a huge supply chain. So businesses really need to know who they're dealing with at every level of the supply chain.
And where will the company need to publish that statement?
Statements have to be published on the company's website, and there has to be a link to the statement in a prominent place on the homepage. If a company doesn't have a website, then it has to provide a copy of the slavery and human trafficking statement within 30 days to anybody who makes a written request for one.
What if an organisation hasn't done anything in relation to slavery and human trafficking?
Well, if that's the case, they need to start investigating their supply chains and identifying any risks. But ultimately, if an organisation doesn't do anything in the financial year, it has to publish a statement saying so. So it has to say it hasn't taken any steps to ensure that slavery and human trafficking is not taking place in its supply chain or business. So we should say that if anybody is preparing a slavery and human trafficking statement now or in the future, we have got a model statement on Expert HR, and you can find that through the Modern Slavery Statements Hot Topic, which is on the homepage.
Thank you very much for that, Susie. That's it for this week's podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Susan Dennehy. We're back again next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.
Expert HR Weekly, the latest from experthr.co.uk, the award-winning subscription service for HR professionals.